Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 150 with our very special guest, Grant Sloss.
This week on the podcast, Hillary's in, but only if you watch to the very end of that Kaiser Permanente video she's passing off as a campaign announcement.
Rand Paul is also in, and he's already beating Hillary. Lindsey Graham is also in, but he's only running against Rand Paul. And former Republican Lincoln Chafee's also in, but just to make sure there's someone to Hillary's left.
Republicans and racists alike have finally found a shooting of an unarmed black man they can denounce. So, progress?
Rahm Emanuel just barely avoids being Christine Quinn and can now victoriously continue closing schools and free health clinics. Hooray!
Tom Cotton has a detailed plan for Iran. Step one, bomb them. Step two, actually, there's no step two. It's a simple plan, really.
And plus, we'll take a terrifying walk down memory lane and revisit the news of Brain Trust Live number one.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. Welcome to our 150th episode.
Yes.
Special guest Grant Sloss is here.
Yes.
This is his third time on the podcast.
That's right. Second time you'll have been able to hear him.
Right. That back in our early audio-free days.
Yeah. We're going to revisit
Grant
some of those
on the
days.
Podcast.
Progress just keeps marching on.
That's right.
Yes. Happy third birthday, guys.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you.
I know, this is very exciting.
It is.
This is like... Yeah. This is what it's like to have a radio show for years on end that no one listens to.
Yeah, I listen to it very regularly.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, Grant
you
listens to
Lila's
it.
You and Lila's mom.
My mom listens to it.
Sometimes.
Your mom sometimes listens to it.
I feel like we need to have some sort of fan convention, the three of us.
And agree. Yes.
Make you guys sign things.
That's right.
I feel like because there's only three fans, that could be arranged fairly easily.
Very simply. Quite simply, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm cooking up some Lila Nordstrom cosplay.
That's right.
But just like our first podcast, which had some... pretty crazy, awesome news in it, which we'll get to later. So does this week.
Yeah, this is a great news week.
Because the podcast gods have really smiled on us this week. Because Hillary Clinton announced today
it's happening.
That she's running for president.
This is the day.
Right.
First of all,
to the shock of no one.
Who knew a Sunday would be the day that we'd get to announce this?
Well,
Two weeks ago, I would have never guessed.
No, well, when we heard about this earlier in the week, you and I were both like, first off, nobody cares what's going on the weekend.
No.
Second off, just a video? Like, you release a video, and then you, like, fill a giant stadium of people.
Yeah, of course. I feel especially bad for Marco Rubio, who we've for weeks been discussing how he specifically decided on his date because he didn't want to be stepped on by the Hillary Clinton news cycle.
It's rare to feel bad for Marco Rubio, but literally
to pick Monday.
And I still don't.
No.
I know. He had one job in picking a date.
He knew that was his one job. He stated openly that was his one job. I think he chose Monday thinking, well, surely she will not announce over the weekend. Poor Marco Rubio.
No.
The Sunday Lowe's/Kaiser Permanente commercial.
I know. Lila initially thought it was a Lowe's commercial. Grant.
I'm firmly in Kaiser Permanente camp. It was just missing, like, cascading oranges and the word thrive.
Right.
That's all it needed.
Yeah.
So true. What it did not appear to be was an announcement of presidency until maybe 2 minutes into it.
Right.
Well, I think what she was I know what she was doing, was painting herself as an everyman, because otherwise she's Chairman Mao just come to, like, take over the land that's been bequeathed to her by, like, gods and Asgard. And here she's, like, equating herself with, like, the gay couple getting married and, like, the Latino family starting a business. And she's, you know, she's just like them.
Yes.
That's right.
She's trying to start a business, too.
That's right. the business of owning America.
Now, whether anybody... buys that analogy is sort of, I mean, I some people have. Facebook is exploding because a gay couple was in it.
Yes.
I saw someone say a gay couple starred in
the If you haven't seen the commercial, they're about a full minute into it after, like, children and pets and, like, a number of other household...
A trash-eating dog.
Right.
I would say is potentially the star of the commercial, actually.
That or the kid playing singing the fish song.
But
certainly,
in America.
It's like saying Drew Barrymore starred in Scream.
Right.
Like, when she was actually in one scene in the entire
movie.
Well,
she did.
That I feel like is... I think she was trying to go for a thing where we'd all see ourselves in the video. I think the problem is... that by the time you make it to the part of the video where she's announcing, you have forgotten why you're watching the video in the
first place.
You're
waiting for the Boys and Girls Club logo.
Right,
well, you and I both started the video over, or I skipped through the video because I was like, wait, is this right? But then I was like, no, I clicked here from the New York Times article, so this has to be the...
Right.
They didn't actually take me to something that was not...
Right, an advertisement for Kaiser Permanente. Right,
exactly. But yet, there we were.
There we were. We were left with no choice.
What I will say is that she has at least taken a hint. Because yes. It was, you know, she talked about how the deck is, you know, stacked in favor of, you know, the top 1%, or I don't know if she used that
she
language.
She certainly did not, because those are her language, friends.
But she said the, she said the, I don't remember what she said, but, I mean, she's pretending like she knows that's an issue.
Yes, so, yes. She's heard what people have to say about income inequality and American families.
Right.
She's only in support of American families. She's not in support of other single Americans. We're not part of this
no,
equation.
You're fucked.
Right, so,
yeah.
Screwed.
Yeah.
Trash-eating dogs are a part of the equation, though. That's... My favorite part about that, by the way, was that when they actually show the shot of the couple joking about that, it's a cat that they're petting.
Wait,
did
it was?
Is that,
that
true?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention by that point. It was too late in the video.
Yeah.
In any case, so Hillary Clinton is in. She's done it.
As if she was ever out, but
I
yeah.
Mean,
I know.
I feel like she was able to get away with this casual announcement mm-hmm. because I think she didn't want the news cycle. She didn't need the news cycle that she was in. She just... Yeah.
Well, no, the problem is that she's such a favorite now that anything that's bad news is seemingly, like, a disaster.
Yeah, and we're going to report some of the bad news that we're hearing about this, because that's what we do on this podcast.
Right.
Bad Hillary Clinton news is what we're about.
Yeah, I know. I was watching Meet the Press this morning, and they were talking about this, and, like, Galen was down there, who, my roommate, who loves her, and I was, you know, making snide remarks, and he was like, you just love to hate her, and I think he thought that I was going to react in
right.
some way to that.
You were like,
that's
correct.
Right.
That's not it.
She's Magneto.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I'm curious to see when we'll hear her first big speech.
Well, she's going straight to Iowa.
Because where's her stump? Like, what does her stump sound like? Like, we don't know.
No, we don't.
That's, well, this is, it's rare that you.
We've got time.
I mean.
we're gonna get
we
to
also,
know it real well.
We know. We just don't know.
No,
like,
yeah. Right.
We
don't have the transcript.
Right. And we, like, I feel like her stump speech is going to be one of the vaguest stump speeches that a person has ever had in the history of the political process. Because if this direction is any indication, and I'm not saying that I think it's a bad direction for them, it's certainly a new direction, and their old direction wasn't working, so a new one has to be different,
yeah.
better, something. But I think that their new direction is going to be to, like, vaguely play to, like, middle-class America without saying anything. That's what I took away from this project. And if that's the case, then her stump speech is going to be hilariously vague.
Well, she's not running against anybody, so it can be for a while anyway.
Right, that's true. And
I mean,
she doesn't have anything...
She doesn't have to differentiate herself.
No, and she doesn't have to have it... She doesn't have anything to run on, because if you actually get down to facts, like, the things that she's running on are not things that she can back up with her own actions or beliefs. So it's going to be... an exciting time for
a lot of treading water.
Right until the general, when somebody will dig up all sorts of shit, and then we're going to be back.
Yeah.
To our drowning.
No more treading water. It's time to drown.
Right.
Exactly. Meanwhile, if we're wondering how Hillary Clinton came to this point, it wasn't because she just thought, you know what, I've been a senator and my husband's in president. I should be president.
Right, I failed
I deserve
this once
it
already.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's apparently because a trio of Republican ladies, or no, a duo of Republican ladies.
Duo.
A trio. Doris Kearns Goodwin is no wild leftist.
Oh, well, she's a historian.
But she's a slightly conservative historian.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
Not like, you know, she's not like,
she's
not Rand Paul. She's Marco Rubio or somebody. But she's not
interesting.
Always been on the side of...
I didn't know that.
She's no Howard Zinn.
Well, no.
She sometimes says inflammatory things.
On you learn something every day.
But Nancy Reagan and Laura Bush.
Right.
Apparently, the three of them are the reason that Hillary Clinton decided, you know what, I should do this.
That's right. They're doing some documentary for the History Channel of, like, all the former first ladies. And apparently Nancy Reagan is really into Hillary Clinton running for president. Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah.
I mean, they have similar political backgrounds, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
So.
But she said the time for a woman to serve as our president has come. Really, now's the time. And I think the idea of having a former first lady as the leader of the free world is really quite a marvelous notion.
Well, she would think that.
I want Hillary to win, she said. Even though I admire two of the current potential Republican nominees, I have no interest in seeing either of them lead this country.
Unless she won't name the other two either.
I know. Well, there's only two.
Right.
I mean, technically.
Oh,
so
that's right.
I don't know
okay.
if she's actually talking about those two or if she's just talking about any of the... two that are
right.
sort of like vaguely
knows
running
what year
at this
it
point
is.
Or
right.
Of that.
I feel
literally,
like
the first person that posted this on my social media site, literally the first comment was Nancy Reagan still alive?
Oh,
and I was like, that's really mean, but also
a fair question.
Like,
right,
there was
a fair question.
There was a moment where I was like, Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
But apparently all the first ladies get together once a year.
That creeps me out.
That's weird.
First lady jamboree.
That's another thing that I don't want to... Up there with the Olsen twins and Robert De Niro hanging out in Tribeca.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't want is any of the first ladies knowing each other.
Right.
I feel like, first of all, I think Michelle Obama outclasses all of them. So I don't think she should have to hang out with the rest of them.
No.
I feel like, who wants to hang out with Laura Bush?
Right. Or Barbara Bush, I guess, was there. There's your third Republican.
Oh.
Because they both cornered her. If you don't want cornered by...
The two Bush...
The two Bushes.
The two Bush first ladies.
Barbara by herself is bad enough.
Exactly. I mean, Laura Bush doesn't add anything or subtract anything from that conversation. She's sort of a non-entity.
Tagged along, probably.
Right, yeah.
She's there to hold Barbara's
She felt like she had
exactly.
to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a scary duo.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like celebrities hanging out. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, where are the wives supposed to go during the Illuminati meetings?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
They're certainly not invited.
No.
Rand Paul, also running.
In lesser nominee news.
In lesser nominee news.
I know. Rand Paul is running.
Uh-huh. He made his announcement and then managed to just have like 1,000 gaffes all week. Like, didn't get it right.
It was glorious.
It was so good.
It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, started off with a... not so hard-hitting interview with Savannah Guthrie. She's...
A soft-hitting one, you might say.
Right, on the Today Show. Like, that's where you go for safety.
You go to, like, whisk an omelet and wave to people. Like, that's all you
need.
It
wasn't exactly a 60-minute interview that he was...
No.
That he panicked under the pressure of.
No.
But he basically, like, angrily lectured her during his interview.
He mansplained some things to her.
Yeah. He had a similar situation... with the Associated Press.
I was going to say, as if to prove that it wasn't just ladies he could, you know,
he's also able to mansplain to men. But in this case, it was more that he got angry because he didn't want to say anything about his position on abortion or what, you know, it was like late-term abortion or something like that. Or bans on abortion. So,
but he also shut down some Twitter interview, right?
Yes. It was on, what is that?
Oh, the things where it, like, live streams
on Twitter. And they got to a question and
he
walked away.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's Meerkat.
Yeah, they're competitor.
Yeah, the competitor. Yeah. Periscope.
Periscope.
There you go. Yeah.
Found it, guys.
He walked out and like the lights went out. Basically, just like, shut it down.
Then he also had an unfortunate gaffe where he referenced Ronald Reagan's policy on Iran. Forgetting about Iran-Contra, the most famous scandal of the Reagan years.
Yeah, there are a lot of wrong Iran policies he could have aligned himself with, and that's maybe the most wrong.
Well, Republicans, the Ronald Reagan is like the safety word for Republicans, basically.
He's
the
safety word for, like, some Democrats, too.
That's true.
Obama's safety word at one point.
Yeah, that's right. That wasn't true. That was pandering.
That was openly pandering.
He was running against it.
Yeah. But yeah, so there was a sort of unfortunate situation where he, in a speech, made the sort of reference to Ronald Reagan that everyone makes, where he talked about saying that he sort of envisions his defense policy being like Reagan's.
Right, which was trust but verify or something, which was what he was trying to get to, but sort of, you know, forgot about.
But he specifically said, I believe in applying Reagan's approach to foreign policy to the Iran issue.
Yeah, no.
Which you don't want to do.
Nope.
Doesn't end well for anybody.
Use it as a way of selling weapons to rebels, to anti-communist rebels. That's not your plan.
Nope, it's not.
But so in any case, there's a lot of discussion about how thin-skinned he seems to be.
Megyn Kelly called him thin-skinned on Fox News.
That's a bad sign.
Literally just sat him down and was like, you need to sack up. Like, this is embarrassing. And he brought up that he was sort of, like, felt under attack. And, like, one, it's week one of a presidential campaign.
It's not going to get better.
Right. And two, she was like, and this is sort of Megyn Kelly throwing shade, but she was like, Savannah Guthrie is not known for being particularly aggressive.
I know.
Like, I think you're the first to complain that Savannah Guthrie, like, really gave it to you. Right? So, grow up.
I like Savannah Guthrie.
I do, too. So,
she's not...
I always liked it when she filled in on Meet the Press.
Oh, I know.
I was sort of hoping she would be the Meet the Press.
Right, instead of nonsense talker Chuck Todd.
I don't know.
Now, filling in full time.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's the...
Yeah.
Yeah, Well, you have to have whatchamacallit, man-child syndrome to host that show. That's
both of them.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, he interviewed Rand Paul this morning. Did you see that?
I have not seen it. No.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did it go as smashingly as it's been going?
It was better.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. He's getting some coaching.
He said, because he asked him about, like, all of these sort of, like, you know, interview situations this week or whatever, and he was like, brought it back to, like, how he's. In his past as a doctor, he always felt like it was his best way to just, like, tell it to people straight. Like, and not, you know, he was just, it was more sort of like, I'm a straight shooter. And so when I feel like people are sort of, you know, like trying to give me the runaround, I just want to, like, you know, tell it like it is.
How do I convey an eye roll on a podcast? Did I do it? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a.
Yeah. Because Chuck Todd was like, are you not a morning person? Yeah.
Fair question.
Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm a surgeon. I'm a morning person. Apparently he was doing a lot of eye surgery in the morning. I don't know.
Okay, I got Rand Paul's my new favorite candidate.
Oh yeah.
Well, already. Guys, when is Scott Walker going to declare? That's the mystery.
There's so many people.
Rand Paul
left.
Is still polling behind him, by the way.
Yeah.
So Rand Paul is in fourth in the polls. He is polling behind Ted Cruz, Scott Walker, and Jeb Bush.
Two of whom are not
running for president yet.
But who are
definitively running for president?
Right.
But so the other big gaffe also of the week was that he misspelled the word education on his website.
Look.
Of all the words.
I was going to say, I'll give you a pass on a typo.
Sure.
I
mean, we've all
been there. It's,
yeah.
It's a thing.
It's embarrassing,
you know what, I'll give you a pass on a typo when it's like your eighth grade term paper. When it's the website where you're announcing your education policy to the country.
And people were tweeting about it during his speech when he was like making the formal announcement too. So it had to get changed. It was being changed while he was speaking.
It is worth having a copy editor take a look at your presidential campaign
like
website.
That's the word, like, misspell
any
everything
other,
else
right,
it like, just can't
write
be
the
education.
Rest in Latin in that know. Fake Latin that's just filler Latin that right. Apple provides you whatever you need to do
lorem ipsum. Yeah, exactly, that the whole rest of the website
could I mean kudos to him for not taking the Sarah Palin approach and just saying like, no, I meant to spell it that
right.
I invented a word and now it's a word here's my education policy.
It was on the page where he basically describes that his policy is to get rid of education.
The Department of Education. Oh. So we'll all be spelling it that way soon enough.
Exactly.
Under a president.
Or whatever way we feel like. Any of the ways. They're all. Oh, and then he also created social media avatars for people that were like border either ridiculous or horribly offensive or both. But we're certainly not appropriate in many circumstances.
Yeah. So on the site, you can be on like Rand Paul for President or whatever. You can pick. You can, you know, download like a photo to like use for like iChat or your Facebook photo or whatever, you know. And like they're all just like, you know,
it's just text that says whatever,
right. And then
whatever
photo
subgroup
sort of
you
like,
are
right.
For
Italian
right.
Right. Americans for Rand,
right.
Farmers for Rand.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jews for Rand. Jews,
which was later changed to Jewish for Rand.
Still not better.
No.
Fisherman for Rand was another one.
And sportsman. They had fisherman and sportsman.
Well, you want to be as specific as you can.
A lot of,
but if you like a lot of sport, how can you choose? You know?
Fishermen don't like to be associated with sportsmen, and sportsmen like... There's a very...
Oh, really? Is that real?
No.
Oh.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah. Musicians for Rand.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I believe, because as we've discussed many times before, Ron Paul has a huge musician following.
Oh, that's
a huge
right.
following of
yeah.
road touring musicians.
Remember when Kelly Clarkson accidentally endorsed Ron Paul
right,
before
and then,
she realized what she was doing?
And yes. then had to stop her. Yeah, but we've discussed and we actually discussed this on the first podcast, which we're going to do a rundown of later, all of the many road touring musicians that endorsed Ron Paul for president last year.
Right.
These are not people that are afraid to align themselves as a libertarian, even though they are people who use public services like roads as part of their very profession.
These musicians for Ron Paul were probably not thinking things through.
Yeah.
No, well...
Surprise.
Yeah. Most of the people for Ron Paul were not thinking things through.
No LGBT for Rand, by the way.
No.
I know.
I'm kind of surprised. Like, at least make it.
He doesn't want LGBT. He doesn't want that appearing some... Like, he's running in a Republican primary.
I know.
Right.
He's
this
not,
is not the time
that's
for
not the
a
demographic
rainbow avatar
to, no.
in your arsenal.
No. Like, I think he could say, like, black inmates for Rand.
Didn't he have that? Didn't he have...
Because he did talk about...
He talks about that all the time.
I know, but I mean...
Sort of like one of the things
I thought
that
I maybe he would get...
Yeah,
I thought
you
know, maybe he would stop talking about it in the primary and then just kind of like pull it out again in the general. Not that he was going to be in the general, but I mean...
we're taking some leaps here. Yeah.
I felt like that might be one of the issues that he disowns.
Yeah.
Just because it...
Anyway, speaking of people who are not going to be in the general, Lindsey Graham.
Right. 80-million-year-old Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Who's Newt Gingriching his way through this race. Like nobody
totally.
Has.
He'll be on vacation soon enough.
That's right. Penguin bites are in his future. But he hasn't officially declared, nor should he. But,
no, but he will.
But he will. And his strategy seems to be just to attack Rand Paul.
Right.
He's just running a one-man race against
like,
Rand Paul.
Once your strategy is to, like, attack second tier candidates in the race.
Yeah.
Like that can't be your plan.
Maybe next he can move on to Chris Christie. I feel like we could have an exciting race for third on our hands.
That might be the most exciting race that there is, actually. It's all of the wacko losers.
The general will be a Bush-Clinton race, which we're sick of. But the third place race in any of these primaries might get real thrilling.
It might. Yeah. We might have some real big fuck-ups like we did in 2012. Yeah. Crossing myself, hoping for some of those.
We can all
I get why he's doing this, just in the sense, I mean, it doesn't make sense sort of like as a strategy, but I get that like Rand Paul is probably the person that he can most differentiate himself from, just on foreign policy, because he wants to like, you know, basically bomb
everyone,
Earth,
all the people.
And Rand Paul wants to generally do the opposite.
He wants to ignore all the people.
Right, exactly. So I get that sort of, but I mean like beating Rand Paul doesn't get you anywhere necessarily.
that's not a strategy.
Not a winning strategy.
No,
$100 still won't get you a subway ride. I do. When Lindsey Graham does declare, I want him to do so as like Scarlett O'Hara and say, "I do declare."
Yes,
that's,
I know exactly.
That's how I picture him in my head.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's,
in a hoop
and that
skirt
would play in his state. So that would be perfect.
It would
be perfect.
On the balcony of Tara, just waving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's trying to paint Rand Paul as to the left of Barack Obama. That's a quote that he's been.
I don't know about that.
That sounds like an exaggeration.
To the left of Hillary Clinton, I'll buy.
Oh, sure. I'll buy anyone to the left of Hillary Clinton.
Well, but on foreign policy.
On foreign policy, right. Lindsey Graham might be to the left of Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's not hard. We're talking about a race in which she's going to be the only one who voted for the Iraq War.
Well, that's true.
I mean, obviously Lindsey Graham did, but Lindsey Graham's not going to be in the race by then.
Right. Now, granted, that's because some of the people who may win the Republican nomination didn't have the opportunity to do so. But
no,
I mean,
but
still.
They didn't have the opportunity to do so. The man who is George Bush's brother is not going to have to say that he voted for the Iraq War.
That's true.
Hillary Clinton is going to have to say that.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here, people. That's what's going on out there in the world.
That's right.
But so in any case, and Hillary, by the way, is not exactly wiping the floor with these people.
No, and she was for so long.
And she was for a long time.
And I think this is, you know, I mean, look, first off, it's early. Second off, this is partly to do with the fact that she has not officially been running until now. And I think that, like, whenever you sort of announce, you get some buzz.
Right. Everyone remembers that they were going
to. But she's losing to Rand in Iowa and in Colorado and, like, within the margin in
Virginia.
Also. And this is not some cockamamie poll. This is, like, the, you know, this is the Quinnick, whatever. I mean, some. Pulling group that pulls all of this all the time. What is it, the Quinnipiac? Is that what it's called or whatever?
I think so.
They're like a real
thing. Reputable fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, I think this is, it's one thing for her to be losing to a big gun in the polls. It's another when you're already losing to Rand Paul.
I get losing to Rand Paul in Colorado on some level. That's sort of like
smokers
of,
over there. Yeah. Iowa,
living in
that
the
concerns me.
Seclusion. Like they're going to be sympathetic to a libertarian. But.
Right. Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Well, yeah, I feel like Colorado is where every person you went to college with who was a libertarian moved to so that they could, like, snowboard a lot and, like, smoke pot. Like, that's the state that you move to if you're, like, a white male libertarian.
It literally describes one of my best friends from college.
No,
right?
Not surprised.
I also think that, like, when they're polling in these places, like, Hillary Clinton doesn't have the excitement of having to run against anybody yet, and these other guys do, and I think...
But here's the thing, she's never going to have that excitement in this race. That's what we've lost the ability to have.
Yeah.
So she's going to continue to not have the excitement as these people generate all sorts of excitement, because it's going to be one crazy primary.
Yeah, exactly. One person who would like to have some excitement, but is probably not going to have any.
Well,
so thirsty.
We've seen him speak. He doesn't have the requisite amount of excitement, just like in his general person.
No, that's right. Lincoln Chafee is...
Yeah, who you may recall as a Republican senator.
We'll, we'll pause while you Google Lincoln Chafee. Chaffee.
Yeah. Famously left the Republican Party because they were getting too far to the right. He's like a famous Rockefeller
Republican. He's a Rockefeller.
Right. Which, by the way, I get that now that seems like a positively liberal plan. Rockefeller Republicans are still really fucking evil, guys.
Right.
Just, they're not like, you know, they're not like Bible Belt Republicans, but
that doesn't
mean that they weren't up to shenanigans to benefit the 1%, which is what Lincoln Chafee stands for.
Right.
Because of that, however, he's now aligned with much of the Democratic Party.
Right, well, he's been basically every party, because he also was...
He was an independent
for
a while.
He was the Republican, or he was the Republican. He was the governor as an independent.
Yes. He was the governor of Rhode Island as an independent. And then became a Democrat, and he was going to seek re-election and then didn't do it. So since January, he's just been hanging out. So he thought to himself, hey, I'll run for president.
Yeah.
Why not?
But he said, I would argue that anybody who voted for the Iraq War should not be president, and certainly anybody who voted for the Iraq War should not lead the Democratic Party into an election.
So he's decided to run to her left.
Right. But admitted that they would be on the same page as everyone else. Again, let's stress that he is a Republican.
The man started his career and had a full career as a Republican.
We can't emphasize that enough.
We can't be Florida and nominate a Republican for the Democratic seat.
No, oh my God, they're up to that a lot.
Florida seems like a great place for him to take this primary race.
Exactly.
Right.
I feel like he could win the Florida primary.
I know. Well, I don't know, because Charlie Crist certainly didn't.
That's true.
Didn't win down there.
But that was a close race, considering that it was between an actual evil person and a former slash current evil person who was just slightly less evil.
Right.
Like, I mean, that was a wild ride of a race.
But isn't somebody else running for Marco Rubio? We talked about that a couple weeks
ago. Yeah, there's a former Republican running for Marco. Well, it's a nobody, but it's a former Republican running for Marco Rubio's seat.
As a Democrat.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
so being, Florida's where you sell your wares if you're a party switcher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, but only if you're switching to the Democratic Party.
Right.
There's only room, and there's a lot of room for Republicans in the Democratic Party right now. There is not room in the Republican Party for Democrats.
No, they don't want us.
Right. That's. No. But so, in any case, currently our best hope for finding a candidate to Hillary's left is Lincoln Chafee, a Rockefeller Republican, who served in the Senate for years as a Republican and was the independent governor of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Chicago, a race that we have not really talked about much.
No.
But was an exciting race for... If this race had been happening in New York, we would have been talking about it nonstop.
Right, you would have been obsessed
with it. I would have been obsessed with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it basically was sort of like... There was almost a Christine Quinn moment.
Well, right, and a Christine Quinn moment, and also it sort of...
a Hillary Clinton moment, if you will.
It plays into sort of what we have always said about, you know, primaries and, you know, needing to sort of actually, you know... have a real
Andrew Cuomo moment also because this is what happened to Andrew Cuomo. Man suddenly bans fracking after a candidate runs to his left and basically gets all the fracking counties to vote against him.
Yeah,
I mean that's sort of what we had here.
Yeah, but Rahm Emanuel won. It was a close race, a runoff for the mayor of Chicago, and it was against sort of like an upstart candidate. I mean, nobody even really thought he was going to end up in a runoff to begin with. It ended up being fairly close. He won, but,
pushed Emanuel to the left, and Emanuel didn't start there.
Well, no. Well, and the reason that this runoff happened in the first place is because they've been having a lot of budget issues, like everywhere in the country is, and he sort of, you know, they've pension, you know, issues and things like that. And
Huge pension debt, like $20 billion.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he closed like 30 public schools. He closed a bunch of public health clinics. Yeah, and so he basically pissed off. He's been in a real battle with the teachers unions in Chicago recently, and also you know, a lot of healthcare workers and stuff. And as a Democrat, that's not what you're looking for to try and win a primary.
No.
So he got primaried, and it was close.
Yeah.
So.
But because of that, he was really forced to move to the left on a lot of things.
He was. Which... He really sort of like had to tick off a lot of, you know, progressive issues to really sort of get himself back into this race, because it could have gone either way up until sort of, you know, the end.
This is what we don't have going on in the presidential field right now.
No, that's correct.
And Bill de Blasio was asked about it and basically was like, maybe like the sort of pressure from the left to find a candidate is going to do this to Hillary, but I disagree with him.
I sort of disagree with that too, although I do find it interesting. I mean, I think she's smart enough to know that is going to be at least income inequality, which she talked about in her video, is going to be an issue. She's not an
Rick
idiot.
Rick Santorum is smart enough to know that's going to be an issue. Like,
what's
you
your
have
plan?
To be a complete idiot to not know that that's going to be an issue.
Right, exactly.
And you can...
Rand Paul was talking about two Americas. I watched
exactly.
his entire speech. I mean, that's like...
Oh, that's right.
That's
yeah.
some freaking that's some... Bobby Kennedy shit right there. I mean...
And some John Edwards shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that... You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that that's going to be the defining issue of the race. I feel like there are smaller issues that she is not going to think of in time because she's not going to have someone to her left needling her on them.
Yeah.
And that is what you lose. Like, even if the left is complainy,
right. Well, and that
they aren't going to be active for her, and you want their energy. I mean, you want your base's energy.
No, exactly. Well, and that is what, I mean, you know, sure, we love to hate on her, but like, it would only help her to have to run a primary.
Yeah.
I mean,
and by extension, it would only help us. people that are on the left who are not going to be represented in her campaign very effectively because there's no one to tell her what we think.
Right. Yeah.
Unless she
But it was interesting because de Blasio, who ran her first Senate campaign, was on Meet the Press, and that's the interview that we were talking about. And he would not, Chuck Todd was like, so are you ready to say that you're in for Hillary? And he was like, well, as with any candidate, I would like to hear what she, you know, her plans are for all of these things or whatever. He would like,
it's going to be a long wait.
And like the whole panel was like, whoa. Like,
because I think that's him sort of like trying to play against the inevitability issue.
It might be.
I seriously doubt he's like waiting for Martin O'Malley to announce so that he can jump on that.
I don't think he's going to do that, but I think what's smart about that is reminding people that there are actual issues she's going to have to talk about. Because we just said, her campaign is going to be like content free for a while now.
As long as she can get away
with it. I think that someone like him, who is a far left candidate himself, who won in this sort of like far left wave that happened in a place where the inevitable candidate got swept out of the race by people just like hating her and not caring about her. Yeah. I feel like he is sort of in a position to be like, you're going to have to define your issues, Hillary. Like,
yeah.
I don't gain any credibility from endorsing you now.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, for someone like him, a far left person, like, yeah, what is he? And he's very tall, too, just as a side note. I was having a conversation with someone earlier this week about how short Carolyn Maloney is and Jerry Nadler are. And I recall that the last time I saw them all together at a press conference, the entire congressional caucus, or, you know, like the New York contingent, is like teeny tiny people. And then Bill de Blasio was there, and he was like, they weren't even up to his shoulder.
It was Groot.
Right. So I feel like that's an unrelated point that I've been waiting to make. There it is.
From ogre Bill de Blasio.
He's a tall person who's not in for Hillary yet.
There you go.
In any case.
Oh, man.
People are still killing unarmed black people.
Yep.
Police officers are still killing unarmed black people. We haven't solved that problem yet.
On camera.
That's right.
Yeah, cameras don't seem to be solving this problem to the extent that they're stopping it.
It solved this one, I think. I think we've finally found one where we can sort of all safely agree.
We can all agree that this was not the
right
move.
He's already been
fired.
You know, he's been fired and he's been charged with murder. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but it's sad that we have to find this.
Exactly, but there's always all this talk when these things happen of more body cameras, but like, that's for the police to wear. Do you really think if another policeman was wearing a body camera during this, come out to the level it did? Like, this was just some random guy going to work and held up his phone and was like, this looks fucked up, I'm gonna see what happens, and then posted it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't imagine...
It's cell phones that are really solving a lot of these crimes.
Like, I don't imagine that the other cop that was on the scene, who sat there while he cuffed a dead man and threw a taser next to him, was gonna be like, hang on, I gotta go upload this body camera to YouTube so that everybody can see what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But in any case, we finally found one where everyone can agree that it was wrong.
Right. Even if it happened in South Carolina, I know. Ugh. Even Nikki Haley
is
not into this one.
Tim Scott not having it.
Yeah.
People who were normally having it were not having it this time.
Yeah. But I mean, it really sort of, well, and what's been, I mean, they, a lot of places have been talking about, like, in regards to the video, how would this have been reported if not for the video?
Right.
And you obviously, well, like you said,
because it was in South Carolina, I have doubts that it would have been reported.
Well, because the official report that the police officer gave, which would have been, without the video, the only thing that we would have had, was that, you know, they got into a scuffle, there is no proof that that ever happened.
Right, the guy tried to steal his taser.
He tried to steal his taser, and we know that that didn't probably happen, because he planted it, basically, at the dead body after he shot him eight times, in the back, as the man ran away from him. You know, I mean, we really wouldn't know what actually happened without the random cell phone video from the
Orwellian cameras everywhere is the only way we're going to stop this.
Nobody's looking for.
No.
I mean,
no, but we already have that almost because every single person is carrying a video camera with them at every moment.
But you can't necessarily
trust
that everybody is
more of a 1984.
It's more of a Brave New World.
I mean, a Brave New World. Right, yeah, Brave New World kind of deal. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like the behavior almost will maybe start to change, when officers who are not accustomed to being able to act in these ways, because this is a very, like, the guy tried to plant evidence on the guy. That's a very old-fashioned way of dealing with this problem. I feel like when they sort of get the hint that, like, anyone could be videoing them at any time, right. like, they could, they're being watched also.
Well, I
they're going to have to change their behavior, but also police officers who are younger, I think, are going to be more accustomed to that concept because yeah. they're going to be of a generation where they've always been videotaped by everyone.
That's true.
Whereas older officers, I think, probably have a hard time adjusting to this world in which, like, any kid with a cell phone can yeah. be their undoing.
That's true.
The whole thing felt like the flashback at the end of a CSI where they reveal what actually happened in it. And
right.
it's just, yeah. like, so... Like, yeah. so to the letter on all of it that it was just
I know.
Like,
yeah.
It was a little
Where's Patricia Arquette?
A little cheesy, wasn't it? It
was oh, like yeah.
a little, like, this police officer's plan was just like, we've already seen this on TV, guys.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Well, and the other thing, there was another thing that happened this week. Wasn't there, like, some, like, where 10 police officers, like, beat up some guy and there was, like, helicopter footage? It was in California, like, Simi Valley
what?
Or something.
No, I didn't know that.
But everybody there
in
was...
In Simi Valley?
Yeah,
on the here. Moon this happened?
But everybody in this one involved was... white, which, again, none of these things
just
are...
just a police brawl in Simi Valley?
Yeah, and none of these things are good, obviously.
No.
But, I mean, I think, and you and I have talked a lot about this, too. I mean, it's obviously, certainly, there's a racial element here. We'd be silly to think that there's not. But, I mean, I think, you know, police brutality is sort of a
right.
larger
can
issue.
Happen to anyone.
Can happen yeah. to anyone. That, and that's a thing that needs dealt with. They're yeah. the police right now, actually,
yeah.
in our sound studio.
That's right. So rude.
I know.
They drive right in here.
But right on cue.
yeah.
No, it's
yeah.
true. They heard.
Yeah.
They're listening. As always.
That's right.
But meanwhile, in Ferguson, the originator of this discussion,
yeah.
They made some important changes to the ballot box.
Yeah, exactly. It was city council elections, and they really turned out.
Yeah.
Big time. They added two African Americans to the city council.
Right.
It's the most now that they've ever had. There was already one who was not up for re-election, so there's
right.
three. I think
but it means
half
that the,
now, right?
yeah, the...
Yeah, half and then
half
the mayor
the...
is the seventh
right.
member.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, considering that this is a place where... a large, you know, majority of the voters are African American.
Right. Yeah.
That's an important improvement.
But it was a, you know, they really sort of, it's good because they knew that this was, you know, a thing that they needed to do. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the turnout was 29% of eligible voters, which is sad to think that that's good. But in a previous election last year for, what was it, for mayor, for the mayoral
yeah, the
election, it was
12%. Well, local elections
so you have to believe
in
that
April,
those,
or,
well, right,
you
exactly.
know, I mean, we had city council elections recently in West Hollywood, and, like, seven people showed up.
Yeah.
I had the whole gym to myself
yeah.
when I voted.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
vote in Russian in West
yeah.
Hollywood. You can only, you can't vote in Spanish. You can only vote in English and Russian.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not surprising at all.
So that's happening.
Yeah. We walked through a park in West Hollywood earlier
only
today.
Elderly
and
elderly Russian people were there.
That was all that was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're colonizing.
That's right. They colonized a long time ago because they're all really old.
Gonna, yeah,
right.
We colonized.
Right.
The
yeah.
gays colonized.
The gays colonized,
yeah.
colonized Russia.
Right.
Take that, Putin.
In any case, there was also sort of like a sort of follow-up to a situation in Ferguson where I think we talked about this, but in early March, after that DOJ report came out, there was a Ferguson official,
yeah.
this woman, Mary Ann Twitty, and then I think some other people got fired as well, who got fired for sending racist emails to
yeah.
other city officials using public email accounts.
Yeah.
And she apparently doesn't feel bad about it.
No, she knew they were racist.
Right.
But she just
but
thought
she's
they were really
not
funny.
Racist.
She herself is
she
not
She can't
racist.
Be responsible if
comedian.
Racist jokes are funny.
Right.
Here's where I'm offended. And it's like, it's one thing to, like, being a racist, yes, awful, don't do
right,
that on work
do
email, don't do that on personal email, and don't do that in real life. But other, it's just not a good joke.
No.
Like,
no.
Like,
what was the joke again?
It was Ronald Reagan feeding a baby monkey with the caption, rare photo of Ronald Reagan babysitting Barack Obama in early 1962. Like,
it's terrible.
It's so
the worst.
Dumb that I don't even want to, like, give it the
Wait,
credence
no.
of a
the
response.
Thing, the thing that we know for sure
I just
is
laughed.
That...
I'd like to take that back immediately. I was laughing at its stupidity. Not because it was funny.
No, the thing that we know is that this is not the joke that you defend the humor of when you're saying,
exactly.
I'm not a racist, it was just a funny racist joke.
No.
This
We've
is not
going to
win a Mark Twain Prize
no.
for anything.
We've
right.
all heard a racist joke and thought, that was maybe funnier than
right.
it should have been.
But
this
was
not that joke.
What was funny is that she knew that it was racist.
Yeah.
Because she even said, sure, oh wait, what was the quote? Oh, yeah,
sure,
she said,
they
sure,
look
they
racist.
Look racist. Even when I looked at them, I was thinking, God, that's racist. But they were jokes. I meant no harm to anyone, to anybody... Or whoever sent them to me, I don't even know. She didn't even know where they were coming. She was
so
just blasting them out.
Right, she's just
sending. She just
right.
thought to herself, "This racist joke is hilarious."
That's
right.
I gotta
see
send
all
this
contact.
To everyone.
Monkey. Like,
yeah.
So upsetting.
Yeah.
No, she said, "No, I didn't send them because
mm-hmm.
I'm racist. Because I'm not."
Right. No.
I tell you,
she was sending them out based on funny jokeness.
She's just dishing out edgy humor, guys.
Oh boy,
Ferguson. No, she's awful. Ferguson, out. There it is.
That's right.
We got the sentencing of the Boston bomber this week.
It took almost all week to read.
Yeah, it's like 30 counts that he was being charged under.
What, didn't it take like an hour or something?
It took 26 minutes to announce all the counts.
Just to read it.
Guilty on all of them.
17 of those counts could warrant the death penalty.
Right.
This, sometimes the justice system sort of confuses me because I feel like this is an unnecessarily complicated lead up to what could just be sentencing this guy to life and like moving on with our lives.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Like, now we have to figure out which of those 17 counts might actually give him the death penalty. First of all, we shouldn't be doing that. No. Even if it... And I understand that with 17 counts, it's possible that it could happen. But, like, I feel like with this many things wrong, like, I feel like we could just sentence him to life and, like, move on with our 26 minutes. Anyway, I never understand what's going on in these trials because there's so many counts. And what could... How many... 30 counts? Well, like, what could that even be?
Well, they started stacking, like, counts of life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there was, like... Yeah, there were using weapons of mass destruction, bombing a place of public use, guilty of conspiracy, and aiding and abetting
his brother, who's dead. Yeah.
Well, that was the only defense, really. I mean, they didn't obviously say that he hadn't done it because we all did, but they were sort of trying to portray him as being like highly influenced,
like a pawn,
by his older brother, who obviously we know got killed in that shootout when the police were going around the city in tanks and.
Yeah, no, right, that scene from The Dark Knight Rises manifested itself in Boston for
Right.
But Liz Warren came out and said that she doesn't think he should get the death penalty. She doesn't believe in it, which is, I think, why she should run for president in 2016.
Add it to the list. Yeah. But that's a pretty bold thing because, first off, that is a fairly split issue in America still, which is upsetting. But, I mean, she's also from Massachusetts. I mean, she's the senator from Massachusetts, so that's... where Boston is.
Interesting.
As you may know. If you didn't, I just told you. But I'm sure a lot of people in Boston are probably like, kill the bastard. You know what I mean? So, like, for her to sort of,
Can you do that with a Boston accent?
No. Can you?
Okay.
No. Would you like to?
No, I really don't want to.
No?
Oh, okay. Right. We're good.
Okay.
Great. We just called Grant the actor.
Is that... Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, he is.
Grant is the actor here.
Uh-huh, that's right.
I feel like what I love about Elizabeth Warren is that she could confidently say this, I think, and not worry that her base would abandon her or that anyone would be surprised.
No.
Well, no, and the fact that she's not seeking higher office is one of the reasons that she can say shit like that. If she was running for president, there would have been, like, three focus group meetings about it before she said it. Totally.
But that's, I think that is what makes her such a great candidate, is that she says stuff like that and it doesn't get the reaction that, if Hillary Clinton said this, we'd doubt her. Immediately. Well, we'd be like, we would know a focus group told her to say it.
Right.
As is with any of the other candidates, you know that.
That's true.
So I feel like with Liz Warren, a lot of the time you get sort of unfiltered Liz Warren thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's right. Let's savor it while it's there. Because she's still fairly new to the process.
Yeah, she could turn at any moment.
She's still folksy and charming. And let's let her bask in that glow for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we finally have a plan to deal with Iran.
Yes.
It's not the plan that Obama's administration has been hammering out with the Security Council and Iran for the last few months.
Right. Who also, before we get into the story really quickly, Tom Cotton this week, did you hear what he said about gays in America?
Oh, yeah.
How, like, we should be glad that
Because
we don't live in Iran.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like when I wrote my Huffington Post piece and my cousin...
At least we're not being murdered for being gay.
Yeah, right. My cousin was like... If you think being a woman now is bad, just think about what it could have been like in the 60s and don't cry into your cornflakes about what you're dealing with now. And I was like, that's not how you measure progress.
No.
You don't decide that just because you're not dead, things are going swimmingly.
That's right.
But Tom Cotton, not a thinker.
Yeah. Also, he's not.
He's been a real doer in the last couple of months.
He is a doer. Yeah. We cannot say he's not a doer.
No, we can't.
No. But he has a plan, and he said it would be something more along the lines of what President Clinton did in December 1998 during Operation Desert Fox, several days of air and naval bombing against Iraqi's weapons of mass destruction facilities for exactly the same kind of behavior. So basically what he wants to do is just take a week and just bomb the shit out of them.
Yeah.
That's his plan.
First of all, he's forgetting that Iraq, a post-war Iraq, is not the same thing as bombing Iran.
Right, exactly. Iraq had, like, just gone through their own sort of shit at the time. We had just,
They had been having an issue with Iran. They had been having issues with each other.
With Iran. We had just had the issue with them and Kuwait, where we had sort of, you know, bombed them at that point, basically. So they were sort of...
They weren't in a great place.
They were a wreck.
Yeah.
Iran is sort of...
It's a real country.
It's a functioning place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everyone's terrified, probably has a nuclear weapon, so like...
Just don't... Yeah. That's not the plan.
Antagonizing is maybe not the best option, but Tom Cotton doesn't know that.
No, yeah. he doesn't know much. No.
No.
But that's his whole plan. But he just thinks... And historically, that didn't solve our problems in Iraq, even though they were a mess. So I'm not sure what he's hoping to accomplish in this go-around.
Yeah.
But I guess
he's hoping for a free pass because a Democrat did it. And he's like, well, if a Democrat can do it, then give me a shot.
I have a recollection of being an angry child at Bill Clinton for doing this, by the way. I remember watching footage of this happening when I was a kid on television in night vision, green and black. Remember, they would show that footage on TV. And I remember just thinking to myself, this is not what a Democrat should be doing.
He should be dropping hugs.
That's right. Those people need hugs more than anybody. Yeah,
that's right. Where's Dennis Kucinich when you need him?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. No, I remember, that's when I turned against the Clintons. I have my memory of the footage.
The 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's actually one of my early memories of political television.
Interesting.
Because when I was a very young child, my mom, it was during Iran-Contra, and my mom was watching a lot of hearings about that. And so I once told somebody that the only two things on television were Sesame Street and hearings. So I know that I had been watching a lot of that.
Yeah.
But my first cognizant memory of watching political news on television is during that bombing campaign. And because I remember it being the first live war footage I'd ever seen.
Wow.
Because obviously there hadn't been a war in my time since then. So in any case... I have thoughts.
Can I ask a forward-thinking question about Tom Cotton? We've said, he just was sworn in January.
Yeah.
Has already written a letter to Iran undermining the president, has already said, let's bomb Iran, has already said, gay, shut up, and who cares who sells you your cake, we're not killing you. And he did something else crazy. Is he a future star in the
probably. In the he's already a star.
But I mean, is this going to continue, or do you think they're going to be like burning bright and then going to down?
Is this
like
the Ryan Murphy of candidates where
it's like 6 weeks of liquid crazy and then you just sort of like turn away?
Yeah, it could be.
I feel like Tom Cotton is maybe here to stay for the ultra long term, but for the short term long term.
his term in Congress.
His term in Congress
will be storied and
yes. He's going to be one of those people. Because
he's from Arkansas. He could be there for a while.
He's a doer, you know? He's a guy who's going to be able to run on having done things. Are those things crazy? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Were they helpful? Certainly not. Yeah. But
he's not fading into the...
No, he's not going to be a guy where people are like, what was our congressman's name?
Yeah.
He's going to be a guy that people are like, I think that Tom Cotton really knows what he's talking about because he's talking words and he's taking action.
He's showing up on the news a lot.
Exactly. Right. Name recognition
so
is half
Charles
the battle.
Manson, though.
There are probably states where Charles Manson could win office just on name recognition alone.
Yeah, probably.
Pull that, Quinnipiac.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse often gets a lot of votes as writing
Ain't
candidates
that America.
Goes. So, you know, I think that we have a future star on our hands.
Yeah,
terrific. You heard it here first.
Yes, that's right. meanwhile, only years
gay
and
news.
Year, gay news.
Yeah,
only years and years after maybe everyone should have done this, Obama has denounced conversion therapy.
Yeah, he and Valerie Jarrett.
That's right. Two people who presumably...
She's pretty widely hated by people in the...
within the administration.
Right?
Well, she's sort of his BFF.
Well, and she's who he, sicks on people when...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's really fucking
Everybody else in the administration is,
terrified of her.
If Valerie Jarrett's on your phone log, just leave
that's
town.
Not what you're
Get
looking
out.
For.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But so they made an announcement in the form of a statement from Obama and Valerie Jarrett that was posted on whitehouse.gov.
Right.
Along with the petition.
Right.
To end gay conversion therapy.
They're in favor of ending gay conversion therapy.
So.
Which is great.
At least we know that.
Yeah. Too many places have... I mean, there are a lot of places who have...
Who've
banned
this on the state
now. But even Chris Christie... signed the bill to ban it in New Jersey.
Well,
so,
doesn't seem that controversial of a move.
No, exactly.
I mean, I feel like we can all agree that gay conversion therapy sounds like a bad plan.
Yeah.
When you really think about it.
I think we can all agree on it. I think there are people who don't
probably
agree
don't
on
agree
it.
On
that's
it.
True.
And
Michelle
are
Bachman's
sending their children
husband.
There.
Right.
Michelle Bachman's gay husband doesn't believe in that. But I mean, this is something that I feel like on the political end. This is one of those issues where I feel like politicians are not in touch with themselves a lot of the time on issues that are just, like, common sense issues to thinking people. Because they are people that are, like, paid to know things. I get how, like, rando family in rando state with a rando gay son maybe doesn't know what gay conversion therapy is, really. And, like, fine, that's their right. But, like, if you are a politician, like, it is your job to know these things. And once you know, you can't
it's a bad idea.
Right, like, it's, yeah. it's like a clear bad idea once you've done any amount of research on it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So I feel like a lot of the time, these sort of, like, some semi-politicized announcements of being against common sense bad ideas just sort of irritate me. But, I mean, good for them.
No, good for them for doing it.
Like, I mean,
right.
good work.
Yeah, I get it.
For sure.
If nobody says it, then some people don't know.
And, right. Well, and also, I mean, we remember, like, when he came out in favor of gay marriage, that changed the discussion about gay marriage.
Course.
Like,
completely.
He has the power to change the discussion about issues.
And this time, he didn't have to do it because Joe Biden fucked up and said it on Meet the Press.
No, that's right. This time it was all Valerie Jarrett's idea.
Is he just not doing it? Has he, like, resigned himself?
I know.
I don't think he's going to do it.
I think...
He's just going to charmingly smile his way through Hillary Clinton's campaign. I know.
I love Uncle Joe.
I know.
I don't know that I'd want him to be president even, but I like there's just like a deep affection for him.
Yeah. Well, I have often said that he's just like he's the perfect vice president.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he could be vice president for life.
Well, he's got such a charming smile.
Charming smile. He doesn't really have to like do much of anything.
Right. Sometimes he has a gaffe that gets you news and is hilarious.
He can awkwardly, you know, massage all of the ladies as they get sworn in for Congress or whatever, and say dirty things to their wives.
But like he loves that. The swearing in the Senate is like his favorite day of the year.
Oh,
he just stands there, just
that's
like
where he,
who wants a hug?
That's where he shines.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for,
and that's what I want for him.
Yeah,
just I agree. Don't worry about running.
Yeah,
Joe Biden,
never change.
Never change.
Yeah.
There was a big kerfluffle. A word I've made up, I think. I use it all the time now.
Kerfuffle is a word.
That's
kerfuffle.
A word.
Yeah. I know. I always add an extra L somewhere in the word.
No, kerfluffle. Isn't
no,
that
it's
what
kerfuffle.
It is? Oh, it is?
The real word is kerfuffle.
Did we both think that was... Or have I just been hearing
you
say
it? No, you've been
hearing
me say it for months now.
Oh, I didn't know.
What's painful to me is that I've had this exact conversation with somebody today.
Are you
somebody said kerfluffle, and three of us were like, that's not
that's the word.
What that is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I always thought that you...
It is more fun to say as kerfluffle. That's why.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that kerfuffle is difficult to say in a way that kerfluffle is not.
Really? I don't know. I think adding the extra L is more difficult.
It's an extra consonant cluster.
I know, but
it seems...
it's a more common like, series of letters. Like,
fluff
is not a... Say fuff. Fluff is hard to say. Fluff is a word.
No. We're moving on.
We're in the weeds now.
Yep.
We're in the weeds of a
Maya Angelou has a new stamp, and it has a quote on it that's not hers.
Right. That's the next story. And that's it, actually. That's the story.
That's the whole story.
Which is told you. Bonkers, though, because it's not like there's any sort of dearth of Maya Angelou quotes.
She's a writer. She's a famous writer.
I know. And
that's all there is.
Speech giver. That's all she's done is give quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Her life is a collection of quotes.
Oh, U.S. Postal Service. You're already up against it.
I know.
I mean, just get this right, okay? I mean...
Well, then they try to pretend that they knew that.
Well,
Oh, right. Well, because this is a thing that, like, the quote basically is a thing that she has said before, but it is just not hers.
Right.
And the quote is apparently, like, the basis for I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Obama attributed it to her recently.
Right, people have been accidentally doing this for a while. But, like,
which makes me think that the Postal Service knew or didn't know what they were doing.
No,
and is
I
now
don't think they did at
pretending,
all.
Like what I like to do when I'm wrong, is pretend that I knew the right answer and was just choosing to go with the wrong answer. That's what I feel like the Postal Service just did.
Yeah.
That's a strategy.
It's a real strong doublespeak from the Postal Service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in any case, now it's time for our walk down memory lane.
Yeah, that's the news.
That's the news this week.
Yeah.
Now we have a discussion of the first podcast that we ever did, which was on the most amazing news week.
Lila forced herself to listen to it last night.
It was really bad.
I tried to listen to it and realized that they only exist on Lila's computer.
Right.
It's not available to listen to. Which is good.
Thank God.
For humanity.
Because the first 20 or so podcasts are painful to listen to. It begins with a very awkward intro from Brent.
Right.
After I say the word, okay, go. And then continues into a very slow discussion.
Super slow. Why were we talking so slow?
We don't talk that slow. No, I know.
And in fact, not only do we not talk that slow, but we often rage against people who talk that slow.
And I think that we get told a lot that we talk too fast. I get told a lot that I talk too fast.
You too. And there was one day when I turned on the podcast and I accidentally hit
the double speed,
times 1.5 or 2 times speed. And it was so fast, but like for 5 minutes, I was like, okay,
oh, that's just, right. They just really got going.
And then I picked up my phone and started to text something, and I was like, oh. And I stopped it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to rewind. What should I miss?
Yeah. I have tried to listen to our podcast on double time, and it's impossible.
Why have you tried to? What are you doing?
Sometimes you want to check the podcast to see what it's sounding like, but you don't feel like spending all hour doing it because you already were there for the hour.
Just kicking the tires. Yeah. See what's going on.
No, it was a crazy
It was a crazy news week. Yeah. We began with a discussion of Rush Limbaugh and Sandra Fluke.
Yeah.
Oh, never which was forget.
State Senator Sandra Fluke, right?
That's right.
Did she win?
No, I don't think she won.
Just kidding. She lost. She totally lost. She definitely lost.
Didn't
she
Patrick ran. Barone or something? No, he didn't win either, I don't think.
Yeah, who knows?
I can't. It was somebody annoying that won.
No, I think she won.
Okay.
In any case.
It's too hard to know. She was just a random person at that point. And right. now she's running for public office. Yeah.
How far we've come.
She had been chosen specifically for the privilege of talking about birth control.
That's right.
When we were having a lot of discussions about contraception coverage back during the early days of the Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. And she had testified on it, and then Rush Limbaugh had jumped on her comments and betrayed the secret knowledge that, I guess, we had known up until that point, which was that all Republican men don't understand how birth control works.
That's right.
Not a single one.
Mm-mm. Every single one of them seems to think that you need to take more birth control to have more sex.
Right. Or what's his name? Wasn't it Foster Freeze that said that you should just
stick an aspirin in between your knees?
Yes.
Call it a day?
Which is like something your school mom told your grandmother.
Right.
In like the 1910s.
But one of my favorite parts of that discussion was that we discussed all the mattress company sponsors that dropped Rush Limbaugh that week. Because it was like Sleep Number and...
Yeah.
Dream something. There were several. He had a lot of mattress sponsors.
Yeah.
And then also LegalZoom,
oh, yeah.
which sponsors everything. All the talk radio is sponsored by LegalZoom. And then that same week, Andrew Breitbart died.
Yeah. That, crazy.
Coincidence?
Wait, I think not.
Probably not.
Well, there were a lot of conspiracy theories about that, by the way.
Well, he was very young.
Yeah.
He was just like walking home from the bar in Brentwood. Yeah. He was walking home from a bar. He had a conversation with a guy about nothing. And the guy was all over the news trying to peddle the story of him having the last conversation with Andrew Breitbart, but they literally had nothing interesting to say about that conversation.
Yeah.
So it was all over the news, and it was not important. It was the week before Super Tuesday, but there were several GOP primaries that had happened in the days up before the podcast, and that included the Michigan primary. This was the week where Mitt Romney said the trees were all the right height.
The trees were the right height. Michigan. Yes. Oh, my God.
Romney bought, we hardly knew.
Right before he described lemonade as... lemon wet cold.
Does anybody else think he's like Nell of the Woods that they just taught like human characteristics? They just found this like tall, handsome man and they were like, all right, you're starting from scratch.
Right.
We're building the perfect candidate.
Here are some words that you'll need to know. Cold.
That's right.
Cold, wet.
If it's lemonade, it will have lemons in it.
Yeah.
But this was the week of the Blunt Amendment being sort of like the hottest topic in the Republican primary, because Mitt Romney had, I think, originally been in like not in favor of it and then changed his mind and everyone was trying to hammer him. The Blunt Amendment was an anti-contraception
amendment. Oh, that's right. Amendment. Yes, of course. Right.
And this was sort of like, that was the big issue of the time. Everyone was talking about whether religious institutions would have to cover contraception coverage for their employees. And so that was what all the GOP primary people were jockeying about.
Yeah.
And Mitt Romney had flip-flopped on that issue, like many an issue.
Yeah.
And so...
Etch-a-sketched.
Yeah, he etch-a-sketched. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he goes into the Michigan primary with this being the sort of like big problem for him. Now, we knew he was going to win the Michigan primary because Gingrich didn't show up for the Michigan primary at all. Just didn't bother.
Was that one of the states where he didn't get his name on the ballot in time?
I think so.
What a failure.
Mitt Romney had also mentioned that Ann Romney, one of his connections to the state, that Ann Romney had a few Cadillacs.
That's right.
And then he also referenced his Ford Mustang and Chevy pickup as if those were cars that he had.
Right. Well, they're...
His staff had those cars.
Yeah, his staff had those cars, and he was... And then, able to transport them in his car elevator.
In final Romney news, he had been asked whether he was a NASCAR fan.
Yes.
And said that he's not. He doesn't follow it as closely as, quote, ardent fans, a word that NASCAR fans don't use.
Police again.
The police are back. but that he has some great friends who are team owners.
God. He was a disaster. How did he win that?
Let's not forget Rick Santorum came in second. Yeah, let's not forget what the field was. It was Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain.
So good.
I long for the field of 2012, guys.
That was one of the great races of American history.
Because we have some, like, lunatics in this, but, like, not the fun kind of lunatics that we had.
Exactly.
I foresee some exciting discussion about Ted Cruz's ability to run for president coming up. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, I know.
I've had a lot of discussion with people about it recently.
That's, like, one of your favorite
topics. It's one of my favorite topics. Well, yeah. Because this is what happened. People keep saying to me, yeah, but what about John McCain? And there's a huge difference between Ted Cruz's...
Right, because where was he born? Well, Panama or something? Is that what
John McCain
he
was born in Panama, but he was born to two U.S. citizens who were doing work for the U.S. government abroad.
Right.
Ted Cruz was born in Canada to a Canadian mother and a Cuban father and did not apply for American citizenship until he was older.
Yeah.
He was the child of two immigrants in Canada.
Yeah.
That if that had been America, he would definitely be qualified to be president. But since it was Canada, he was a Canadian citizen at birth who... Just because he was eligible,
his Canadian citizenship.
He had to, yeah.
He had to,
but just because he was eligible to get American citizenship at birth doesn't mean he did it, and doesn't mean that that means that he was born in America or
a citizen at birth. Denounce some sort of citizenship. Didn't she find out she was like some random, had like dual citizenship, and then like immediately like
no,
yeah. Totally.
Well, so I'm sure Switzerland was devastated.
Devastated. But the other thing that we discussed a lot on this first podcast was where in the world Newt Gingrich had gone.
Because
I had said during our discussion of the Michigan primary that I was surprised that he was still in the race because I had thought, since we hadn't heard from him, he'd probably left.
Yeah.
But really, he was just holding on for the Georgia primary because he kept saying that he had things in store for us on Super Tuesday.
That's right.
But those things were not campaigning anywhere or being in the public eye in any way. They were just going on like a weird zoo tour and on vacation.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably didn't go to Michigan because there's not a world-class zoo in Michigan.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Get your shit together, Michigan.
Maybe there is. I have no idea, but... That's basically what that whole
It seems like in a place where the trees are all the right height, they would need a zoo. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so he is promising at this point that he has big things in store for us. But that's the only thing we've heard from him in a long time.
Since.
What we do know is, because we had a breakdown of the super PACs. And what we do learn, this is the podcast where, I mean, it's the first podcast, so it's the podcast, but it's the one where we first discuss Sheldon Adelson's obsession with moving the U.S. embassy or U.S. intersection in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Right.
A topic I still don't fully understand.
No, but he's forcing anybody he gives money to get on the same
Get on
page
board
with
that.
Yeah.
This is a Sheldon Adelson special, and Sheldon Adelson is literally willing to spend millions and millions of dollars in his efforts to get the U.S. embassy in Israel moved to a new city.
He was the only thing that kept Newt Gingrich in for
He was the sole sponsor of Newt Gingrich for that entire race.
Yeah, it was the
race.
Same with Rick Santorum. It was Foster Freeze.
Exactly, yeah. And Foster Freeze was the Rick Santorum's Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah, sugar daddy.
He was the sugar daddy of, and he was obsessed with Islamic extremism. So suddenly Rick Santorum got obsessed with Islamic extremism, even though I'm not convinced that he knew anything about that or cared.
I also feel like Rick Santorum found his way to that.
I was going to say that.
I certainly don't think that that wasn't,
for him to get to
I don't think that that was not an issue he couldn't have gotten on board on. I just don't know that that was his issue. Like, that, I didn't see that as his issue.
Right, no.
Until Foster Freeze got involved, and then that was certainly his issue.
It was his issue.
But so in any case, we also had a campaign update from Obama because he had like really overblown a minor amount of good economic news that week where he, there had been a small dip in the unemployment rate and they sent out all these press releases about how we'd done it. We were like, the economy was like still in the shitter.
Right.
Everything was a mess.
And it was probably because everybody
people
had
stopped looking for work.
Dropped out of the job pool.
But then the other thing is that Obama officially announced that he was going to go the super PAC route instead of doing public financing,
which
was a decision that he had made the first time around also. And so we on the podcast at that time were very critical of his decision to do that, because as much as we understand how super PACs make you lots and lots of money, we were sort of like, this campaign was supposed to be a sort of a public denunciation of that, you know, that policy of Citizens United.
Citizens United,
But then, sort of finally, we talk about some of the more bizarre endorsements.
Oh, yeah, there were some good ones.
Ann Coulter was really pissed at the time at Rick Santorum because she thought he was a poor communicator and wrote like a crazy essay about how much she hated him, which didn't in any way make sense. Like, as much as it's easy to hate Rick Santorum for many reasons, and we had listed many of those before, she found all of the, like, every reason that was, like, crackpot that we would never have thought of and, like, put them all in this crazy essay.
Yeah. Well, she's crazy. I love Ann Coulter.
I know.
We've been over this. It's a running theme of
it began,
3 years in the podcast.
It began on the very first podcast.
That's it. Did I talk about that on the first podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And so, and papers had been endorsing Mitt Romney at the time just because he was the least bad candidate. That was a theme that was going on before Super Tuesday. Suddenly all these papers were like, well, if we have to endorse someone in the GOP primary, I guess it's Mitt Romney, but it's not because he's good.
Like the right. Yeah, like the headline was like groan.
Right.
Yeah.
The Telegraph Star.
Exactly.
Nominates
Mitt Romney. And then we also talk about some random celebrities who were making endorsements at the time. Chuck Norris endorsed Newt Gingrich.
Oh, sure.
Sort of in the Sheldon Adelson camp. Trump had endorsed Romney. And then Ron Paul had a whole list of endorsements that were like musicians and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
And that is what we talked about on the very first week. But that was an amazing news week.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I mean,
if that happened this week, we'd have really killed that
That's
podcast.
That's right. If only, well, I feel like next year at this time, we will be in a similar place. Super Tuesday will have either just happened or be about to happen. We have another Super Tuesday in our future.
Yes, we sure do.
Every 4 years, we're going to get to have a Super Tuesday, which is really my favorite day of the year in many ways.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting for the Republicans. I think
it's never exciting for us.
No.
We're not.
Total snore.
But I mean,
well, in 2008,
I'm in it.
We hadn't even thought of a podcast.
I'm in it for the Republican primaries.
Like, well, they're always better.
I'm into it. The reason that I care about politics at all, and especially electoral politics, has a lot to do with the Republican primaries being so exciting.
Yeah.
And just rife with comedy. You know,
and craziness.
And craziness. Like, yeah, like unpredictable craziness.
George Bush operatives in 2000, like, papering South Carolina saying that John McCain fathered a black child.
Yes,
exactly.
Right.
We need,
that's what we have to look forward to in a Republican primary.
That's the kind of nonsense that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
And we also, the other thing that we talk about a lot in this podcast is how Rick Santorum is peaking at just the right time. Because this is right when Rick Santorum is peaking. He was the last candidate to peak in that primary.
All right.
We had already gotten rid of Herman Cain. We'd gotten rid of Donald Trump. Everyone had led at some point. Michelle
Bachmann had led. Yeah, right.
And every one of them had fizzled.
Right.
By this point, Herman Cain has he's been cheating on his wife or has a love. There was some sex scandal with Herman Cain.
Oh, right. He had to drop out.
He had to drop out.
And
couldn't remember
the
word Uzbekistan.
He had to drop out because of that, not because the 999 plane was so fucking dumb.
Oh,
yeah. No, and not because he couldn't remember the name of Uzbekistan either.
Oh, that's
Uzbeki,
right.
Uzbeki, Well, wait, what was the 999 plan, though? Like, what was it?
We were going to tax everything at 9%.
Right, it was like, it was
we were
going to
tax corporations and people and children or something at 9%.
That he stole from, like, Domino's. Like,
exactly.
999, like, what an idiot.
Yeah, well, he was taking something that I feel, he was trying to explain something to the American people as simply as possible.
Right.
It was
which
just,
I get.
Which I get.
But then he couldn't
explain it
from there.
No, right. Well, there was nothing to explain. Right. He didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
But so in any case, that is how this podcast began. We hope that we've made some progress in the 3 years, at least in terms of sound quality.
And speed.
And speed.
Yes, exactly.
And talking speed.
Yeah.
But we thank you for listening to us for that long, especially my mother, our most consistent listener. And thanks to Grant Sloss for being our most common guest.
And thanks to you two for doing this for 3 years, and I hope you do it for many, many more, and I hope I get to come back.
Us too. Of course. You are always welcome back. And so we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.